So what you're saying is a church is a gathering of worshippers. But Jesus didn't say his church is a gathering of worshippers.
Mm.
He said his church is his own body.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say the church was a gathering of worshippers. The church that he came for, that he established, is his body.
So this week, we're just going to go straight into the subject of faith beyond Sunday. Last week, we were talking about surviving or living, and we're trying to establish what living fully the life that Christ has given us looks like. And this week, we want to carry that beyond what we do on Sundays, our Sunday activities, because for most Christians, a lot of times we're busy in church on Sunday, you know, we're ministering, we're working, you know, we're in full service. And then when it gets to Monday, like right from get-go, Monday reach does not look like your Sunday person.
Mm.
So I think what we want to actually kind of talk about today is how the life, the abundant life of Christ that we have received filters in fact, takes over our interactions every single moment beyond the walls of just when we are in position on Sundays and when we feel like we have to take on a certain kind of persona. But then, you know, like during the week in our jobs, as parents, as spouses, interacting with friends, what does faith look like? Whilst I was thinking about how to even get going on this subject, I think something that kind of came to mind was the fact that we've established on our conversations here a lot of times that our picture of a life that fits what God has given us is a life without strife, a life where it is void of lack or void of difficulty. And then when it starts to look like that, it's not looking like the abundant life that God has given us. And one thing we did say last week was that abundant life goes beyond wealth. It goes beyond property, it goes beyond what we can take hold of, but that it is the life of God in us. You know, it's the spirit, the promise of God to us, and that is abundant life. But that, you know, sometimes we think that that should reflect in the sense that when I am looking to get a new job opportunity, I want to have faith for it, and my faith is justified when I have that job. Or I want to pray over the health of my loved one or myself, and my faith is justified when that person is well. But you know, I feel like to kind of set a tone for us for this conversation, I feel like we need to come away from seeing that as an evidence of the life that we live and the life that we have received, and that we have to see that there's health restored, or I've got that job for me to have faith. Our faith should not be anchored in optimism, if I can use that. It should be our hope, and our faith should be built on, even if I don't get these things, even if those things don't happen as expected, I am sure of whom, in whom I believe. And just to start that conversation, what does it look like?
It's an interesting one when you want to talk about faith beyond Sundays. Or, you know, when you're looking at faith beyond the walls of, you know, of church.
Yeah.
Right. I asked my daughter a question a while ago, and maybe I'll ask you the same question. If Jesus had a church today, you know, the way we look at church, if Jesus had a church today, what would that church look like?
That's interesting. I don't know. I think that, are you asking me now?
Well,
I feel like, and I might be wrong, I don't know, not to just to put a pattern on Jesus, but I think that he wasn't with the status quo. I think he did a lot of hanging out with, I don't know if there will be a church actually, because he didn't really go to a place. He was always roaming. He was always out and about. The Bible says, and he went around doing good. So I don't think there would be like a location where we say this is Jesus' church.
Yeah.
I think it would be a lot of movement, and I think it would be a lot of, and it would be quite radical in the sense that it would be with a lot of the misfits of the society, mm-hmm. or people that you don't want to identify with. But that's kind of like the idea, if we're to transpose that from what we had then.
Okay.
But I don't even think he, but more importantly, I don't think there would be a church.
Good. Because that's exactly what my daughter said. Because, you know, the reason we got into the conversation was because, you know, people say, which church is ideal for you to go to? So when you're thinking about where should I fellowship, which church should I go to? Which church should I, you know? And then I just threw that question at her. So I said, if Jesus wouldn't be within the walls of a denomination, or Jesus wouldn't probably have a church as we know it, why do we think that his service is within that place?
I think because the church was built after Jesus, right? It was to bring together people that had the same understanding of the teachings of Jesus.
So did
in as much as we want to say, would Jesus have wanted a church? He at that point, was doing the work of, I need to get around. I need to get this word around. So,
yeah, but
the church was built.
When he gave you the commission,
yeah,
what did he say?
He said, go ye out into the whatever.
And preach the gospel, isn't it? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he say, go and establish for me a church?
So I think he didn't say establish a church, but that would happen. Because, for instance, if you start to speak on a thing and people start to come to that place where you speak on a thing, it might not be a church with walls. It might, okay. It could be on the Mount of, where he did the Mount of Beatitudes. That could be considered a church. You get what I mean? Because people gathered to that place.
Yeah, what you're saying is a church is a gathering of worshippers. But Jesus didn't say his church is a gathering of worshippers. Mm. He said his church is his own body.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say the church was a gathering of worshippers, right?
The church is a gathering of people who are talking about the things of God, Jesus.
Yeah, but his teachings. He didn't establish that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the church that he came for, that he established, is his body.
Yeah.
So if the church is Christ's body, because I really want to get into why Sundays in the first place.
Okay.
Do you get what I mean? We need to, before we can go into living life beyond Sundays, mm-hmm. we have to get into how did we get into Sunday in the first place.
Yeah.
And for us to look at how to get into Sunday, we have to go back to go, you know, I know that Christ's life is what we have now. And I know that in a lot of the lessons that we do, we see, you know, the Christ that lived as, you know, as an example, although the fullness of that life that he has is enabled us to know now, not because we see him as an example, but because we have it as a life, right?
Yeah.
So I know that, but I'm just trying to kind of like play these questions back so that we can check ourselves, right? Okay. So if Christ had a church today, we know it's not going to be a local, it's not going to be any local assembly because his church is his body, and the price he came to pay, he didn't come to pay for a group of people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. That's one. Two. Although Christ came for everyone, we saw that he had disciples, right? He called a few people to himself.
Yeah.
So he called Peter, he called John, you know, there are 12 of them that we know. At some point, there were 72. They were, you know, so they were there. But let's stick to the 12 that we know. Why did he call the 12? Do you know?
I'll let you answer that.
No.
He called the 12. He needed some people amongst the town that he knew. Or I'm just off the bat, just thinking, I've come into a city. I want to know more. I want to more of what I'm about to go out. I'm going to pick some people in that city that know the whereabouts of it, and then work with those, with that crew. Okay. You need a crew, a member of people.
Mark gave us an idea of what he did. He had called the 12 to himself because he wanted them to take over. So it's like he was teaching them. So he wanted to teach them about the kingdom. He wanted to teach them. They were going to be witnesses for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had called them to train them to be witnesses. He had called them to train them to be co-laborers with him. Do you get it?
Okay.
That's what he wanted. That's what he was doing. He went, and while that is very symbolic and very significant, it's very important to have that in mind as we think about faith today, right? So the essence of that, of the 12, was not so that the 12 will be having a fellowship of 12 when they are gone, but so that the 12 can scatter to the ends of the earth to take that good news to the ends of the earth. That's why he had the 12, mm-hmm. right? Somebody will say, yeah, but you called 12 and then, you know, Judas was still part of the 12 and all of that. That's not the conversation we're having, right? But Mark said the reason he had called the 12 was so that he could train them to be co-laborers with him. That's what he was doing, right? Good. Now, when Christ died and Christ resurrected, we had a group of people that were there at Pentecost. Now, I always say that we forget that people had things that they did before Christ came. And Christ didn't change those things necessarily, because he went to the synagogue with the people. He also went to the temple with them. You know, it was in the temple one day, he was reading as usual. That's what he even says, as reading as usual. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do this. And then he closed the book. He said, this day, and he was reading from Isaiah. So Christ himself went into the temple. But when the conversation about what was happening in the temple was, you know, became Lord over what Christ came to do, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And he was talking about himself. And he was trying to let us know that, see, God isn't there in temples that walls build, but he is going to be inhabiting temples like you and I becoming a temple. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? But Christ himself, even while he was here, he did the same thing that people did. Like he did that with them. So to say that, oh, Christ, so it will be very, what's the word? Somebody will say, oh, well, it's very wrong of you to say, oh, Jesus didn't want us to be going to temples. No. He went into temple. But we need to put into perspective, what is the role of that temple? What's the role of the church? What's the role of the gathering, right? So I'll come back to that. Let's go to our next set of questions. So Jesus was crucified. At this point, everybody was in distress. As in, when I say everybody, I mean the people that knew him, his disciples, the people that were associated with him. It was even safe for them to all be in one place. Why? Because perhaps you not being in one place with them meant that you were more exposed to being caught. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we saw the kind of world that they were in. Like people, they were literally like anti-Jesus at that time. So they all were on there, you know, in one accord. And it wasn't just the fact that they were there. It was also because Jesus already gave them the instruction to wait until they receive power. Do you get what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so they were together in one accord, and that power was going to come for, you know, the power was going to come. And it says you receive the power, and when the power comes, this is what the power is going to do, because this is the power in which you're going to go and you're going to speak to the world. It didn't say to each other. Mm. It said to the world. You know, that's kind of what they received. Now, on that day, so we're trying to paint a history here, right? So on that day, at that day of Pentecost, a lot of people believe that the Holy Spirit coming down was the Pentecost, right? So, you know, when people say Pentecost, like when you say, oh, on the day of Pentecost, you know, we have a song in Nigeria, Holy Ghost, fire, fire, like the day of Pentecost, fire, follow me. You think that the Pentecost was the fire falling. I know some people don't know that that's not it. But a lot of people feel like when you say, oh, what's the day of Pentecost? They go, oh, that's the day the Holy Ghost came down. But no, the day of Pentecost was a ritual practice of the Jews. It was 52 days after the Passover. So even the name, it got from a ritual practice of the Jews. Right? So that day, the entire area was experiencing Pentecost. Like when you say you have like your Christmas day.
Mm.
But these group of people that were together at this in this room on that day of Pentecost, because they had another Pentecost the year after. Do you understand what I'm trying to say about Pentecost?
Yeah.
They had the power of the Holy Ghost come on them. And when that power came, what did they do? They all went into the street and they all started to speak. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They were speaking the tongues and the language that people understood. And Peter stood up and he said to them, revealing Jesus to them, right? Oh, these people are not drunk. This was what was written in the book of Joel, you know, like at the end, you know, your sons will prophesy and blah, blah, blah. And this is prophecy fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then he told them about Jesus and they said, oh, what did we do? He said, okay, repent. And then they repented. And it says that day, 300 people were added to his church. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Now, the 300 people were added to the people. That means like an identification, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So because before those 3,000 people came, there were a group of people that knew it. Now, those people have now gone out. And because they've gone out, 3,000 people are now added to them. Not mm-hmm. so that they can go back in, but so that those 3,000 people can also then go and then continue to share mm-hmm. the stuff. Because the world doesn't operate like that. Something interesting happens because they are all living in the same area. I can't just up and go. Right? I can't just up and go to the next village. I can't just up and go to... No, the world doesn't operate like that. And when I say the world, I mean people.
Mm-hmm.
You have families. You have ties to where you're at. You have things that, you know, that you're... So you find that people that have common faith and common interest start to come together. And the reason they are coming together is to discover more of what they've come to know. Because it's like, oh, Peter, that thing that you said about this, you know, like, so I can, you know, oh, yeah, Peter, so how are we going to get this conversation to Syria? Oh, yeah, this is what we're going to do. I'm going, okay, you go. So you see a strategic group of people trying to talk together, encourage each other, but also tell each other, how do we take the gospel to the world, to the ends of the world, just as we have been committed to? Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, but you see the scenario of Peter going to the house of Cornelius, for instance. Or you even see when Paul was, you know, when Paul came he said, oh, I'm going to the field of the Gentiles. That's, you know, that's where I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach to the Jews. I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. I'm going to be really rich. Like, I'm going to preach to my circle. Like, that's kind of what you start to see. And as people start to come to know, people are like, oh, I now know this. I hear this gospel. This is so good. You know, and then you go, oh, yeah, I've heard it too. We have that conversation. Oh, what does this conversation mean for us? And the reason we're doing that is so that we can still go and tell someone else. So that we can go and tell someone else. Did you see what was happening? It was supposed to be like it's like an increase. It's like, do you get what I mean? It's a spread. You know, Jesus himself, when he was describing the kingdom, he says it starts like a mustard. It starts like a little yeast in bread, doesn't it? And then at the end, what happens? You see it everywhere. So it was a journey of like telling the next person. And what you saw happening was people came together. When you know more, you come, you're like, oh, I know more. You want to learn more about what you know, right? Because you believe that person probably knows more than you. Do you get what I mean? Like, that's just human ways of doing things. And that mindset is not the one that God gave us. It's the one that humans already had. Because the reason I said that is because when Paul went away to spend his own time, like, you know, he had his 3 years that he went away, he went with parchment, and when he came back, it was interesting because what he had come to know was a bit different from what the other people had come to know, although it was still very similar, but it was a bit different, right? It's because sometimes you need to go and do that work on your own, right? Not necessarily like come to you to say, oh, now that I know, what's God expecting of me? God isn't doing that anymore. He's not handing over like what he expects of you from somebody else. It's the reason why I started the story from the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning, because these people were Jews, you know, like it was normal for somebody to be under a disciple, to be a disciple under somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was something they did. And so even after Christ died, to them, that was a ritual or a culture they continued. Not necessarily because it was good to learn at the feet of the disciples, but because it also gave some sort of community, it gave some sort of belonging. Do you get what I mean? Because outside didn't have what you had. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I get it.
Yeah. Outside didn't have what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where seemed to have what you have. This is where seemed to have what you believe. Peter and James and the other disciples seem to be the ones that are handing over what faith actually really looks like. But that's not true of what Christ came to do. That was true of the world that Peter and the 12 apostles were living in, but that wasn't true of what Christ came to do. How did we know that not to be true of what Christ came to do? Because he said, from the least of them to the most of them, he says, they will all know me. He didn't say they will know me in different quantity or measures.
Mm.
They were going to know him the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said that they shouldn't have a teacher outside the Holy Spirit. So if you said that the apostles were teaching, and you say Peter was teaching, you have to be very careful when you say Peter was teaching, because Peter was not the teacher. So if there is a teaching you can accredit to Peter, then you have to be very careful. Was that the Holy Spirit through Peter, or was that Peter speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that have the faith of Peter. There are a lot of people that have the faith of John. There are a lot of people that have the faith of these apostles, as opposed to having the faith of Christ. And how do you know you have the faith of Christ? Because you just came into the simplicity of that family. I believe Jesus and I've received the Holy Spirit. That's all the faith of Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
But when Peter starts to see, so let's go into this conversation of people forming a community. You start to see the community forming. Oh, okay, people have come into our community. There are rich people there. There are poor people in our community. Do you get what I mean? Some people are needy. Do you get what I mean? Like, we need to give. Okay, so they came to the apostles. They said, these people, they are not sharing food for these people. They are not sharing food for the widows that are Gentiles. They are not sharing food for this one. Then, okay, let's appoint people that will be in charge of food sharing. That's because they were living as a community. It wasn't because Christ called them to come and be a community. But because when you, I don't know how to put it, but because when you start to share similar interests, you form a community around it. That's a normal human response. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
You start to share similar interests, you form a community. It's not because God commissioned you to a community, but because that's just the way human beings, and there's nothing absolutely wrong with it, because the power of the community is very powerful, right? So they formed a community, and, you know, the apostles focused on teaching, other people focused on, you know, giving food. And then you see that trend going through. So that when they go into like a city, say they went into Macedonia, for instance, and they preach the gospel there, some people are going to believe the gospel, right? So what do they do for the people of Macedonia? They're like, oh, since you all now believe, since you guys now have a shared faith, you guys can be talking to each other about what you now believe. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, yeah. And then they tell somebody, and then everybody comes, and it's around what we believe. Not because God called us to have that.
So now, are we saying that having that inhibits us living beyond Sunday? Because I understand the importance of understanding or making a point of why the church came to be.
Mm-hmm. Why the church is important.
And why it's on Sundays, perhaps, maybe.
No. The why it's on Sunday is a different conversation.
Oh, okay.
Why is it important? Because when they were meeting, they used to meet every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean? Like when they met, in those early churches, they met every day.
In that case then, okay, so if they were meeting every day, what does having that community, how does it inhibit your faith going beyond that community? Okay. How do we get stuck in just, you know, being able to maintain a persona within the community and without?
Yeah.
I think it's translating what this life abundance looks like outside of, you know.
I think when we talk about life abundance and we're talking about translating, it might seem like maybe we're talking about something like super, you know, like something out of the ordinary. It's not. What I'm trying to establish is the idea of gatherings have always been.
Yeah.
Right? So whether you were gathering in the temple or the synagogues, or you've now left them to be in the community of those who now say Jesus, and still go to the temple or synagogues. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing that, that was something that humans had, mm-hmm. right? What became interesting was when people were now called, you know, like, so before when you tell somebody about Jesus, they could go and say, oh, I'm free, you know, no, no. But what you found was, which was the irony of it, was what when people were now called into Jesus, they saw coming in, joining that physical community that they were a part of was what the call was about.